Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Really excited to be coming at you this morning because we have a fan favorite that's going to be joining us, Mac McCollum. I have so many questions for her. It's been a bit since she's been on and a lot has happened. This is just going to be a question and answer. It's going to be a pretty quick live with her. I plan on about 30 minutes with Cheryl, but I am going to be zinging them in and I know she'll be zinging them back. So here we go. Without further ado, Mac McCollum about decades of crime scene experience, one of my absolute favorites because she does the job. Here she comes. Hi, Mac.
Morning. How are you, honey?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks again for joining. All right. Without further ado, let's get started. I wanted to ask, I've got a lot of questions for you in different veins. So I first wanted to ask, number one, tell us your theory on the case. Sum it up for us. And if you're still where you were, I know where you are or were, I can hear you now.
Okay. Bottom line, my opinion has not changed at all. Nothing has come out that would make me reevaluate in any way. If anything, it solidifies what I've said from day one. This case ain't about money. She was not legitimately ransomed at all. And this is one perpetrator.
Okay. And what's the reason? What's the reason this perpetrator came after her?
You know as well as I do, you're going to take somebody because you're going to sexually assault them. You're going to ransom them for money legitimately, or it's some type of revenge. I've said revenge from day one. And revenge, y'all, meaning in their head, this person may have it in their head that Nancy has wronged them or Savannah has wronged them in some way. So I get John Hinckley vibes. That has not changed.
You know, it's true. It hasn't changed because from day one, you've said this and you're not alone. There is another creator. I don't know if you know Daniel. He has some law enforcement experience, but he's real level-headed. I love going on with him. He's like you. He just tells it like it is. And that's his belief and vibe, too. And so, you know, anytime there's somebody with some law enforcement background saying the same things, and then he has a lot of individuals on his show that are psychologists and so on that have basically backed up that opinion. All right. So I just wanted to make sure we're still at square one with your opinion. I want to ask you about this. This is the picture again. We've talked about this before, but I want to ask you again, in light of some new information, not only the 11th coming out, but then, of course, other information that at least I believe now. And that is, and I hear a little teeny bit of feedback, and that is that the shoes on these two photographs are alike. We've been able to pretty much show that they're like the one on your right, the darker one is the 11th. The left, of course, is the day of the event on the 1st. What do you think, Mac? Is this the same day or two different days?
Two different days. I think the first one that you're looking at is on the 11th. And I think the last one that you're looking at is the day that she was taken. So again, if you look at the first one, there's no backpack, there's no weapon, there's no mouth light, right? The next one that you see, Jennifer, he's mission ready. What changed during that time period? And this also would suggest that the theory that the son-in-law had some kind of event with her and she died by accident and they covered it up, that takes that off the table. Because this person was stalking her way before she was kidnapped. So I think to me, what you are watching again is a single person. There's not another person in the video. There's not another still shot of a person. There's not a photograph of a group of people. There's only evidence of one person.
Okay. And back to this question then, what makes you think though, that it is on two different days as opposed to being the same day, but a different time frame? In other words, coming up,
yeah, I'll tell you.
So tell me.
I'll tell you straight up, because the sheriff asked if anybody has video on these dates, which were before the kidnapping. They knew good and well he had stalked before. He had cased the joint. They know it. And they know it because they have that photograph.
And do you think that they have timestamps or don't have timestamps?
I think they have at least one timestamp because he was very clear. I want video from this date to this date. They didn't just pull that out of the air. They know it because they have evidence.
Do you think that could have been based on the interviews with neighbors that asked for that? In other words, that said an event happened on the 11th. They thought they saw somebody, that couldn't be the whole reason they're looking at the 11th as opposed to a timestamp.
No, I think they've got it. I really do. I've thought that from day one. I mean, this is what I do for a living. I'm not going to ask for a date that doesn't make any sense to me. And we all know about eyewitnesses. We all know that sometimes they get dates wrong. So if that were me, I would broaden that anyway. So I think they know that there's a definitive date.
They know date for the 11th.
Correct. And they know the other one for sure. They know it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Based on the fact that this is all from Google, right? We both agree on this, right?
Of course.
And on day 10, we got this from Google. Why do you think that, and I'm thinking this was real difficult for them to get this extraction because it wasn't on the cloud, right? It's been described to us. We know it took about a week for them to pull this.
Right.
Why do we think they would have had footage from further back beyond the day of the event? I mean, what about all the other days? What about the 24th that they mentioned? What about, in other words, why do we think that they got more than just the day at hand?
He's dressed differently. The time is different. You know it's different. And again, they're telling you with their own words what they need, what they have narrowed down. We know that. That to me is not even up for debate.
All right. Let me ask you about this, Cheryl. What about this? This is the photo, and I don't know why my microphone is acting a little fuzzy. I'm sorry about that, everyone. Can't explain it. This is a photo of him from behind. This is Cash Patel's photo. No embellishment. It's just freeze framed. Do you see that image that's in the backpack, what it resembles?
I mean, I've had people say it to me. But again, I did not see anything except a backpack that was stuffed full. I see that he doesn't have a wallet. I see, again, he's got an unusual gait, the way he leans. But my biggest thing from the video, not just the still picture, but the video, is he takes his time. Jennifer, he ain't in a hurry. He ain't frazzled. He's not trying to kick the door in. He's doing all of these things subsequently to hide the camera, which I still think is really unusual. He's never successful hiding the camera. He doesn't disable the camera until later, but we don't even see that happening. He spends over a minute just hanging out. Again, that tells me he doesn't have a partner coming in the back door to let him in the front door. He's not waiting on anybody. He's not on a walkie-talkie or a cell phone talking to anybody. He is acting alone, taking his time, period. That's all I see.
If this outline, Cheryl, and again, I don't know why my mic is doing this. I'm so sorry. If this outline is of a drone, why would you have a drone if you think, just let's go for the sake of discussion, that this would be a drone and that device that I see in his pocket that I still think is a handheld, but going now with the thought process that he's alone and doesn't need a handheld, but that it could be something to control a drone. What do you think there?
Here's the deal. A drone for what? I mean, it's dark as pitch. She's inside the house. He's taking her away from there. The drone would only serve if he is somewhere and is maybe going to watch the scene as it unfolds. That's for his benefit. I don't see it. Here's what I do see. I see no activity of a group of people. There is no way you're going to convince me that a group of men, three, you know, prop open these doors in the back. I've never seen that. I don't know that you've ever seen it where men have to prop doors open and then they don't even use them. They go out the front anyway. He's only seen at the front door. She's bleeding at the front door, which means that's how they left. There's no activity in the back except, in my opinion, staging. Knocking out a light, propping these doors open, that's straight up staging. Again, I'm back to one person. I don't see him if he has a drone. There's nothing in his hand that suggests he's got any outside, you know, apparatus that's going to help him. There's no cell phone. There's no antenna that I can see that would assist him. There's no scrambler because we can see him plain as day. And he's not in a hurry. He's not waiting on a second person that's, you know, out there helping him. Why would he not be hidden until they break in the back door and open the front door? And what would be the reason to do that? If you break in the back, go in the back, grab her, drag her out the back, and you're gone. What is all this at the front? It's asinine. Nobody would do it that way.
What about Mac if, and she was 150 pounds?
Yeah.
What about if they were going to take her out that back, which is much more difficult? They can pull her right up here, and they said, screw this. This is not working. We're not going to get her over this. She's just too big. And they switch to this.
Okay. If she's so big and they're carrying her, the second person, their feet would have had to walk through that blood. Zero evidence that anybody did that. There is not a drag mark. There's not a footprint. There's nothing that suggests that happened. And again, where is this second person? If they do all that in the back, they bust out the lights. They get the doors. They bother to prop them open. Now they're going to go to the front door and not only have to open one door, but a second, but don't have to prop that open. It just, it doesn't track for me.
Except for as a stage. And but what are you staging by opening two doors? Making people believe there's multiple people?
Yes. That's the only reason. So when you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, all the doors are open. All the lights are busted out around the house. And people, again, that's the first thing everybody said. It's got to be more than one person. It's got to be more than one person to get an 84-year-old woman out of her house? Negative.
Well, I love that bedroom.
Jennifer, you know this. You walk in that bedroom and you wake her up wearing a mask, you are in control. She's going to do what you say. The biggest question I have is, why is she bleeding? And this is a point that I made on Jesse Weber. All of these notes to me, these emails, they're bogus. If you have information, here's what I want to know from you. Send me an email and explain to me how there are four different patterns of blood on that porch. Tell me how it happened. Tell me when she started bleeding and what occurred on that front porch. And then maybe I'll believe you were there. But we ain't heard that. We ain't had them tell us that she didn't have shoes on. We haven't had them describe her underwear. They say, you know, oh, she's buried in nature now. Who talks that way? If this was a kidnapper, they would say, we buried her. Buried is pretty clear. You don't have to tell me she's buried in nature now. That just, it's bogus. It's not authentic.
You know what I think on that second note is that it's AI. How to write a note that makes it sound like I'm sorry if I've kidnapped and murdered somebody. Literally.
What group of men 3 months after are going to bother to use AI and keep talking to TMZ? It's ridiculous.
Well, now that one came out on February 6th, the inmate.
Whenever it came out, it sounds bogus, right? It doesn't sound authentic is all I'm saying. And it doesn't sound like a group of men, 3 months involved in an accidental death. If she died and they didn't mean for her to die. Now they're giving you this information. Again, it doesn't track for me. If she died accidentally and you're never going to have proof of life and you've gotten away with it, move on. Stop talking to people because there's going to be a chance they can track you down. I don't understand what anybody is looking at this in any way other than this is to extort this family.
Do you agree that I call them the TMZ 12, the 12 notes TMZ got later? Do you agree that those are baloney? I guess you do because you said they're all baloney.
Every single one is baloney. How many letters is a man going to write? These are not ransom notes. And I'm trying to be really clear. If you say there's a serial killer, but it's actually a spree killer, it's not the same animal. It's not. A ransom note is, I've got your mama. I want $50,000. Don't contact the police. A 2 or 3 page email ain't no ransom note. It's not.
Okay. So the first two, let's just, TMZ's off the table. You and I agree on that fully. The first two, one that we don't have a lot of information about, except for that it was addressed to Savannah, right? The person that read it said it was addressed to Savannah, asked for 4, and graduated to 6, and then said, we're going to kill her if we don't get it, right? That's a tough email. But the thing in there that is supposedly the linchpin is the Apple Watch on the ground that nobody would have known of except the killer. The floodlight, as you point out a long time ago, I suppose in 24 hours, somebody could have seen that. But not that Apple Watch. They couldn't have known that was on the floor. So, and then the second note is no ransom note. We agree on that. That's an apology note. I killed her. I'm sorry. Just a real quick, I think it's too, because once she died, they could have been like, oh, we're facing the death penalty in this deal. So we're going to put off this crap for later. I know that's a lot of planning ahead. But we've seen it in cases where people do self-serving statements. So when they're found later, it looks like, see, I'm so sorry, this was an accident. Listen, I my jury's out a little bit on the first one. I agree the first and second are absolutely non-contiguous. I mean, they do not match each other. But you're saying both bull crap.
If you have a group of people that have decided to take the mama of the most famous media person in the United States, do you believe they would have had the ransom note ready to go?
Well, first of all,
I'm just saying, would they not have ransom ready to go?
I'm just saying that I truly believe they had the ransom ready to go. And one, remember, it came out in 24 hours. Which is about normal. But I don't think she's that famous, Savannah Guthrie. You know, other than if you watch morning shows. I mean, I had to admit.
I mean, they didn't pick her because she's 84 years old.
No. Agree.
Right? So what I'm saying is the ransom note should have been at the scene or emailed immediately. It wasn't. They didn't even know she was missing for 12 hours. And then once they were found, people like me had already said, well, she's not been ransomed. That should be a flag to send you in another direction. If she had been ransomed, then we would have looked at Savannah immediately. Was it done, Jennifer? It wasn't. So to me, it doesn't feel like this was an organized, calculated kidnap for ransom case. Even the FBI, their own poster said missing person. It never said kidnapping.
But do you believe that perhaps we are in a different day and time where they're worried about having fingerprints on the notes? They're worried about the ink being identified through the FBI back to the printer. They're worried about the paper being identified. They're worried about still having to communicate in this way that they'll get caught. So they're using things like these inboxes, however they knew that. Do you think that that's a possibility that we've just grown in how these cases are done?
I would love to think that, but I've got old boy on video for over a minute.
He doesn't give you any confidence. But couldn't that mean that there is somebody behind him setting this up? I know that doesn't fit with your theory. But just
it doesn't fit with my theory, and it also doesn't fit with him. How stupid do you have to be that you're going to go to her home more than once? They're going to see your car. They're going to potentially see you. They're going to be able to track your cell phone potentially. And they've got you on video, and you don't take the camera day one. You don't destroy the lens day one. I doubt Nancy goes out her front door ever. She wouldn't have noticed that camera's destroyed. She wouldn't. So to me, again, this does not look like this, you know, organized kidnapping squad. This looks like a very ill person. The mouth light is wrong. Where he's carrying the weapon is wrong. A full backpack is wrong. Spending 41 minutes on the inside of the house is wrong. This is not a snatch and grab of a person.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But they got him at 212 in the yard. Yep. So I don't think he was in there 41 minutes. I think he was in there more like 10 minutes. And that would have included getting in the back door. But nevertheless, it's not a 50-second smash and grab, which we all know you could smash and grab in seconds, not minutes.
It wouldn't take any time to get her. None.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Why would the FBI come out and say they have classified this as a kidnapping for ransom case if it were something else? In other words, if it was a murder, if it was something that you're talking about, why?
I think you're concentrating on the wrong thing in that statement. When they say in that statement, potentially may is non-committal. Again, they're not saying it. In my wedding vows, if they said, hey, are you going to be, you know, loyal and, you know, take care of him and sickness and health and all, and I said, maybe, potentially, that is not a vow. That is not committing to what you're doing. They're telling you in here. They still don't know what it is. That's how they're playing it.
Well, they're saying that about the ransom demands. Other ransom demands may potentially be legitimate, but they're saying unequivocally, this case continues to be investigated as a kidnapping for ransom. So they don't put that on there. So basically, and this is fine, you think that they're incorrect because your facts that you have still lead you to the other.
But it's not just me. Remember, they put a little money in that one account and the money was never taken. Savannah offered to pay. They didn't bite. There's $1 million on the table. Ain't nobody come to get it. How is this a ransom case? Where is the person demanding money for Nancy Guthrie's whereabouts?
Well, they're not anymore because they're dead. Nancy's dead.
I know she's dead, but even her whereabouts, where her remains are, there is no ransom on the table to give any information that is legitimate about her. This is a missing person, presumed dead. Was she kidnapped? Yes, she was taken from the home. There's no question about that. But for ransom, I don't see it. They haven't showed it. There's no proof of it. They may have it. But I think what they're doing here, Jennifer, I think, and y'all do this very well at the FBI, I think that is for the people that are writing these notes. These are the people that are extorting this family. They're trying to keep them in communication because when they went silent for those 2 months, nothing happened. They're no closer to locating who these folks are. What they're doing here is, oh, we've got to say it's a kidnapping for ransom. Otherwise, they're going to quit talking to us.
Yeah, I just, with the few things the Bureau's put out, they've only put out two things. One, they made it clear that the lab information was collected early on. Mm-hmm. And they've been wanting it. And then this is all the Bureau has put their stamp on. Yep. Forget about Pima County Sheriff. And I think this is critical that they write this. I don't think it's a game they're playing. I think that that's what they think.
Well, I think they need to change their poster. She ain't missing. Why don't they have kidnapping?
Oh, listen. I have that on my list to ask you. Do you not think it's stupid that they don't have Porch Guy on that poster, have it in Spanish, and say kidnapping for ransom?
That's my point. They don't have it. It's odd. It seems like if they're coming out saying, oh, this is absolutely a kidnapping for ransom, then stop calling her a missing person.
Totally agree. And those 25 or 27 billboards are wasted. They're wasted with her name on it.
We know what she looks like.
I know. And we're not looking for her. We're looking for him.
That's right.
Okay. What about sources? Give me your down and dirty. What about all these people coming out with sources? And now we got FBI agents coming out with their sources. What do you think about all that?
I think that some of the sources have been more accurate than others. I think that if you have a source, a legitimate source, and you've got some solid information, it depends on how you want to share that. If it's something that can literally lead us to a perpetrator, if it's something that's just, hey, I think we're close to making an arrest, those are different sources. And I think you have to be real careful because, again, I've been critical of TMZ. I don't think you need to share every single thing. I think it needs to go through and be funneled through the FBI and Pima County. And again, in their statement, the FBI again tosses the hot potato back to Pima County. Doesn't matter what they say. If at the end of it, they're going to say, but hey, Pima County's in charge, not us. So once again, they are not on the same page. They're not, you know, coming at this thing as a team. Jennifer, the biggest benefit that I would have, whether I had a source or not, would be you and other folks from your agency, you know, the FBI. If I had anybody from Google, if I had anybody from a local PD, you need a team of people. And so I have said this, and I'm going to say it again. Not one time has the FBI and Pima County and the Guthrie family been on the same stage. They have not done one press conference together, not once. You have not seen an actual formal search of Nancy Guthrie. You ain't seen shoulder to shoulder, grid, zone. It has not happened. You've seen this, oh, we've got a sniffer from a helicopter, which nobody'd ever heard of. Then they take a stick and, you know, poke it down a sewer. I mean, they've done things that have just blown my mind that should never have happened. But again, people using sources, you know, I love sources. I love going to the source, but you don't have to share everything that a source tells you.
My whole thing is you should never share anything that a source tells you and say it's from a source. I mean, I just don't share anything like that because I won't have that source for any length of time if I do. Okay, number two, do you think Nanos' stakes and the mistakes in this are recoverable in a court of law? Do you think this is recoverable once they get somebody?
I think every single day makes it more difficult for the prosecution because reasonable doubt is built in. You have stopped two people. You have served warrants that have not panned out. You have kept the son-in-law's car for 40 days, hadn't panned out. You have said, we're doing this, and then you flip. Nope, we're doing that. She's a missing person. No, she's been kidnapped. Well, the notes aren't authentic. Well, two of them are. Well, none of them are. I mean, what?
It is crazy. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think it will be solved? If so, give us a general time frame.
If this is solved, it's going to be because somebody that's not even connected stumbles upon remains. At this point, there are no new witnesses. They have not served another search warrant in a month. They have not identified anybody. Nobody has come forward and said they saw, heard, or know anything. The $1 million, a million is sitting there. So again, it tells me this person worked alone. They don't have friends. They don't have a group because after a month, there's been no fallout between this, you know, group of people. There's not one ex-girlfriend. Nothing has happened that we would have expected to see by now if this was a group of people that ran their mouth and more than three or four people knew about it. So to me, it is, there's answers that could come. But again, I think it's going to be because somebody is out extreme camping or somebody, you know, had a breakdown somewhere and they had to walk off the beaten path to go to the restroom a minute. And that's how this is going to happen.
Do you think there should be private search parties working on this case right now?
100%.
Okay. Does what the streamer's doing, do you think it outweighs their First Amendment is more important and bringing notice to the case? Or do you think the way they've acted detracts? What do you think on that front?
If my mama was missing, I want everybody sharing, talking, walking. Please, if it's distracting, that's your fault, Pima County, because what should have happened day one is you set up a media staging area. You tell them, I'm going to update you, but only in this area. You block those streets. The only person that can get down that street is if they have an ID and an address to a house on that street. You don't let people camp out in front of your crime scene. I mean, as soon as you put that tape up, they can walk right up to the edge of the tape. Then that tape should be as far back from that house so that that's not possible. You shouldn't be able to order pizza, for example. You shouldn't be able to walk up to it and get your own footage of the blood at the front door. We shouldn't even know that exists. So that could have been handled. But as far as people exercising their First Amendment, sugar, go right on.
Great. Okay. Is this red hot, medium hot, lukewarm, or ice cold behind the scenes?
I think there are some people that are working as fast and as hard as they know. They just don't have anything new. If you and I took this over today, there's no witness for us to go talk to. There's not a new piece of evidence. There's nothing coming back from the crime lab. They're in a holding pattern, which is horrible. But at the same time, sometimes you got to make your own case red hot. You ain't going to solve this behind a desk. When the FBI said they were moving back their headquarters to Phoenix, this thing was going to dip. You have got to be boots on the ground. You don't know where she is, so why are you not searching? You've got Savannah Guthrie, who could ask the general public, would y'all please come out Saturday? Or maybe not this Saturday, but a week from now, Saturday, she would have 5,000 people show up to search. That has not happened. It is mind-boggling. They have not used who they have. It's asinine.
Why do you think the family, Savannah, Tommaso, Annie, we've never seen them boots on the ground organizing a search party? Why do you think that? We know it hasn't happened. Why?
Well, if I had to guess, and again, I don't know them personally. I have not heard them talk about anything at all. But the last thing you want to do is you don't want to be the one to find your mama. That's number one. Number two, maybe they have been told, do not do it. Maybe the FBI or Pima County or both have said, please don't turn this into a bigger circus. I have no idea. But I don't think that's the right decision. I think if you could have 1,000 people show up, divide them in groups of 20, you could cover so much ground and there wouldn't have been all this, oh, there's a glove over here 2 miles away.
What do you think the percentage is of what they know behind the scenes versus what you and I know and all of us know in the public?
They know what was inside that house and how it looked. They know for sure whether or not there's blood. They know for sure whether the watch was on the ground or the bedside table. They know for sure where her hearing aids were, where her purse was. They know if there were fingerprints on that door maybe days before. They know what the light was knocked out with potentially. They know a lot more than we know. But I think the inside of that house is critical. When they said in the beginning it looked like she had been pulled off the bed. Again, you pull somebody off the bed, you're going to knock stuff off the side table. Again, that's a short walk to say the watch was on the ground. Again, you want to impress me, tell me what happened inside that house. You have yet to do that. Tell me what her underwear looked like. You don't know. Tell me how the four different blood patterns got on the front porch. You don't know. Give me that. Don't give me an Apple Watch is on the ground.
Do you think she walked out or was carried out?
It looks to me like she was either carried over the shoulder or that she walked out and turned. And whatever reason she turned back to the house is what it looks like to me.
Okay, with your, what you think happened, not from the lens of a kidnapped for ransom, with what you think happened, Where was she taken in terms of proximity and likelihood of like trailer, house, Airbnb, where? I found a case with an Airbnb. That's why I mentioned that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I was out there, the first thing that struck me was, you know, I kept saying, why don't they have the car on these cameras at these big intersections, either to the left or right? You don't have to do that. You can go through the desert. So there's a possibility that this person never hit major intersections until further away. I think they had a pre-planned destination where they were taking her. I think it's very likely it's a trailer. I think it's very likely it's a standalone home, kind of off the beaten path, which is not hard to do out there, where even if she was screaming, ain't nobody gonna hear her. But if she died quickly, again, she's bleeding, we know that. We just don't know why she's bleeding, but we know she's on blood thinner. So again, she was in bad shape before she ever left that house.
Do you think Annie and Tommaso staged this?
No. No.
Give me two reasons why no, or three.
He was there before she ever got hurt. Why would this person show up on the 11th and then all of this be happening? And if they were going to stage it, they should have knocked the camera out. Not stood there on the front porch for over a minute. It just doesn't make any sense. And what would be their motive? Unless it was what you're saying, they hurt her by accident and she was going to tell Savannah, hey, he hit me in the face. You know, but I just don't see that happening. I don't see them being so coordinated that their phones or their actions have not given that away. I mean, they've had over a month. So.
Totally agree. Mac, I want to be so respectful of your time because if not, you will not come back. And I love you, girl. I love your opinion. I wanted to give you the stage. I want to talk about Swans Don't Swim in a Sewer. Give us a plug for this. I know a lot of my listeners have already ordered because they're telling me, I ordered it. So tell us about this book really quick, if you will, before you bid your farewell.
It was a case that I worked where I used a serial killer to catch the killer of his daughter. So Carl Patton was the Flint River killer. His daughter was legitimately murdered, not by him. And we used Carl to try to get the victimology and the suspectology of the actual killer. And we had an arrest and we had a trial, and that's what the book's about.
I can't wait to read it. I have a long plane ride ahead of me, and that's where I'm reserving it for. I can't thank you enough, Mac. You always just show up. You tell it the way it is, and I love it. Thank you again. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I kept you a teeny bit over. I'm so sorry.
All right. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to hear what you think of the book. But I do want to say one last thing, and it's something Please. You and I always talk about. Even though we may not agree, it is humbling for me for you to even ask my opinion, because again, I think if you and I worked this together, we would have a way of walking through this where our two worlds would collide and we would get it on the same page. I really do believe that, and I think that's what needs to happen here. More people need to get in the same room and hammer this out until everybody is satisfied of what they're looking at, and that's the way to move forward.
I couldn't agree more, and I know we would, and I really, if I could have a wish today, it would be for someday for us to work this together.
Right on.
Absolutely. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would absolutely love it. I wouldn't pick anyone above you.
Appreciate
Well, it. I'm going to bring Gail Lundberg, too. It's got to be the three of us. You got to meet him. He's unbelievable.
I would love to. But you have a safe trip, and happy Fourth.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Oh, you guys, I just love having Mac. And as she said, we might not agree. I don't need to have people on here that always agree with me. That does not work. It doesn't open the mind for possibilities. We're both looking at a lot of different facts and we're seeing them a little bit different. And that's okay. That's what you do. That's what you do in the bullpen. You hammer it out and you get to a resolution. You end up, believe it or not, usually taking the facts together and going down a road that is usually quite similar. So you know how much I love having her on. You have to get this book because this is a real life culmination of a case, so you can see it play out. I can't wait to read it. I told her I've got this long plane ride, as I just mentioned, and I'm going to be reading away on this. I want to talk a little bit about, before I let y'all go, I want to talk a little bit about just some of her, you know, some of the thought processes. So just going to go through this really quick. I am 50-50 on this. I agree with her. Why did they make this so strong on the 11th? It also bothers me that it was a crescent moon versus a full moon, which was the day of the attack was on a full moon. I say that because any of you who have lived in a light controlled, it's actually called light pollution. They do not let you have your lights on or you get ticketed. I've lived in one. I've talked about that. Not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just going to say I've always had an issue with the lighting, although I do understand it could be maybe because this one, he's so close that he gets that. If you guys have Nesta ring lights, they have this little light that shows up when you come closer and it goes like that. So could that be the luminescing that we're seeing right here? This one looks pretty dark, and I've also seen other frames of when he's got the backpack and holster. I am more convinced that it could be the same day now just because I have the same shoes going on. I'm on the fence. The other thing is that makes me think it might be a different day is this pot. So if you look at behind porch guy in the 2-1, the day of the abduction, look at that pot just to his right elbow. It's at more of a distance. Look at it on the one that might just be the 11th. I'm about 90-10. It's the 11th. It's moved. The branches are in a different configuration. It's not one of those branches. It's not straight up anymore. It's bent and the pot's in a different area. Could he have been looking under there for a key? Yes, but I'm back to woulda, coulda, shoulda. When we start imposing in possibilities that we can't see factually, that's much more difficult for me to believe. So combined with the darkness, combined with the location of the pot, I am more convinced than ever. I know I've gone back and forth on this, but that's because of looking at different things to do with it. I'm more convinced than ever that this is likely two different days and that he did do surveillance, even though I think that's really risky. I want to talk about this drone. Totally get what Mac is saying. This was done inside. There's no reason for a drone. If you wanted to take pictures of anything, you could use a small camera because you don't want your cell phone in there. But is this a Mr. Gadget? Seriously, he seems like a Mr. Gadget wannabe. You know, oh, I'm going to get the holster. You know, I'm going to have it in front. You know, I've got a gun that doesn't fit. I've sort of got this bad guy outfit, but my gloves are way too big. I've got this huge backpack full of everything with all this stuff in it. We don't know what it is, but it is full to the brim. And so you just got to ask yourself, is this a Mr. Gadget? Like one of these total wannabe bad guys, like he wants to be Batman or the Green Goblin. I should say the Green Goblin because Batman was a good guy. But you know what I'm saying? That's what it seems so costumey. It seems like that. Okay, we talked a little bit and I'm just going to go because I had all these questions and she did such a great job. I wish I would have said them quicker because she was in a hurry and I want to be so respectful. Whether the notes are fake or real. We're both convinced on the TMZ 12. So we're just going to drop that. Those are extortion notes. They're like what Kalela is going to be pleading to post haste that he sent to Annie and Tomasa, right? That's actually was a ransom, but essentially they're the same bull crap extortive notes. I really think that that's likely a group behind that. And I am going to present that Fort Worth case. It just takes me a while to go back through it. I did it on News Nation on a special they had about these types of people. You guys maybe look for that piece because it's good. I wasn't just on that They did a lot of research in terms of these groups that extort people who have missing people. And anyway, but I'm going to feature that Fort Worth case because I really want to go into the mindset of these sadistic pieces of crap that do this. So her and I are on the exact same page with this. Okay, so let's go now to the first two. I got to tell you, that first note really bothers me because, again, the purported missing or the watch that would be on the ground that he wouldn't know. I do agree with Mac that with possible imaging and the fact that the crime scene wasn't closed off properly, that that could have been seen and noticed and that they could have said that. That's a possibility. I meant to ask her about Wrench Case Tiki Bob, and I didn't. But I think it's very clear. She believes this is a wackadoodle who has an issue with Savannah or Nancy. And they, like we saw with Hinckley, which her and I talked about early on before these ransom notes got ferreted out, we really talked about this, that a wackadoodle that wants to seek their revenge, go in, grab Nancy. There's a couple of things, though, that bother me with that, because I wouldn't have expected their revenge to end with just her death. I would have expected additional bragging in the media, additional taunting. So unless they're behind, which the Bureau has essentially said in this announcement that they are not behind this, right? In other words, see, some have been deemed to be extortion attempts without legitimacy. So they've said that very strongly. Other ransom demands may potentially be legitimate and are still being investigated. Remember, Savannah said they were. Their actions, and I wanted to ask Mac about this, their actions said they were. They literally hurt this family. The FBI did, if they didn't think this was legitimate, just to put them up there and say, I want you to beg with the behavioral analysis unit's help. I want you to sit on this couch, come together and beg for your mom and beg for leniency. And we're going to write out what you need to say. And we need you to read from that. And by the way, they don't say it like that. They suggest it and let the people decide. But it's kind of like going to a plumber and saying, what's wrong with my faucet? And they tell you and you say, well, yeah, but I think it's something else. That, you know, they're considered the professionals. And most people, I can't think of one that I walked into their house and I said, this is how we need to proceed. And they didn't say, OK, let's do that. And I think that's what happened here. So I just can't imagine the Bureau, unless they believe those two ransom notes, or at least the first one, was real and that they both came from the same address. That's what was disclosed, if we're to believe these sources. And that's why they're trying to figure out if these last two are legitimate. I agree with Mac. This isn't a promise. This is a hedging in terms of the ransom notes. They may potentially. I loved her analogy. You may potentially be married to your husband and you may potentially not. I just love that. So I want to just ever so quickly, because there's been a couple questions, I see it in chat. This isn't a wrench like we're going to walk in and beat Nancy until she tells us a Bitcoin address. This would have been, and this is what Certi K said, which Certi K is a securities firm that specializes in cryptocurrency abductions, ransoms. That's what they do. And they said in their 2026 report that this was a wrench attack by proxy. And that's the distinguishing factor. So in other words, you get, and this happens all the time, you grab somebody that is related to the person who has the wealth, and then you extort out of them Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. That's all we're saying there. There's really no difference other than instead of money, we want cryptocurrency. That's the only difference. I circled this, everyone, because to me, this is the key part of this note. Quote, this case continues to be investigated as a kidnapping for ransom case. I wanted to talk quickly about that. Because in the FBI, we do what we call case opening memorandums. Okay. So when you open up a case, You have to predicate it. We do this whole section predicating the case. What do I mean by that? We put on the table what the case is about, what violations we believe that we would be looking at in terms of charging. So we really put the what could be looked at as the cart before the horse, but it's really not. And we're taught this very early on. If you don't understand the law and you don't understand what crime you're looking at, and if the facts add up to that crime, how are you ever going to get a conviction? Does this make sense? So in this case, when you're talking a kidnapping for ransom, which is what would have been predicated in their opening memorandum, and then that's how we style it too. It literally reads, kidnap for ransom subjects. In this case, it's going to be dash unsub, UNSUB. That's how it's going to look. The title of the case, unsub. And then it's next going to say victim, Nancy Guthrie. So this is how we title it. Why do we do this? That is so we know what case we're dealing with. And this is what you do as early on as you know what kind of a case this is. The reason it doesn't matter to me, honestly, whether these notes are real or whether they're not, I do believe, and I, for people in the audience that are holding out hope, and I'm holding out hope. I always have a sliver of hope because that's just, you know, I always just have a sliver of hope. And that sliver of hope would dictate that she could be alive. I'm telling you, I know it's different. Elizabeth Smart, no one, very few, thought she could live like that, right? That she could go through that and still be alive, that the people wouldn't kill her because they wouldn't want a witness around to tell exactly what she told, everything that happened to her. You know, when you're talking about probabilities. In this case, the probability that Nancy's alive is extremely slim. I think she died soon thereafter, like most of you think. I think they kidnapped her. I think there was internal bleeding, and that's why she expirated blood onto that porch. They threw her in that trunk, and she died. I think she died right after they wrote that first note, that first, and I think the reason, and this is what I was talking to Mac about, because she's saying, well, why don't you just leave it at the house? I just think we're in different times, that they're concerned about the ink being matched to a computer they would have had access to, right? Kind of like BTK. I hate to call him that. Dennis Rader, because BTK named himself. You can't give yourself your own nickname, and it's really gross that he named himself that. But that floppy disk had other things on it. That's what people can do now with inks, right? If they can, the FBI has all these inks, and they could say, "Oh, this inks is it like a fingerprint?" No, but you start adding it all up. Oh, they have the ink. Oh, they had the paper. Oh, that was accidentally a fingerprint because they used paper from a ream and some piece of paper or some oil from DNA. Something got on it when they pulled it off the printer and didn't have their gloves on. All these mistakes. If it were me, I would do it exactly how they did it. I would use a email from afar. I would use a VPN. I would send it from a public area like you know, Starbucks. I'd sit in that park and I'd get on their Wi-Fi and I would send that to an inbox that could not easily be traced. This is just, I think, shows the sophistication and another reason why I'm concerned that it's a wrench. I'm not 100%, obviously, but I think that that's a very, it's a plausible possibility based on the facts. It could also be a homegrown, which kind of melds in to what Mac is saying. This is somebody that's angry. This is somebody that hates them. This is somebody that wanted not only Nancy to suffer, Savannah to suffer, the family to suffer. And furthermore, part of suffering to me is taking your money. And that's why I think this could also be where maybe Mac's thought process and mine end up melding a little bit here. The reason that made me believe wrench and go into that direction and start researching those kinds of cases in the very first place And like I said, the Faxerty case said that. That was just luck in research at 1 a.m. coming up with that. But when I saw this, if these first two notes are true, if they're true, you know, that shows a lot of sophistication. If they're not true, it doesn't change my mind about a kidnap for ransom, because when you don't have anything to offer, you better abandon ship. Jump ship, abandon, go into hiding, meld into society in plain sight, and just know you got away with murder. And probably eating up watching all of this, although you're worried about getting caught someday. So anyway, that's still mine. I want to do a little bit something different. I want to do, and again, the reason I think this is I'm Occam's razor. And she is too. And that's why she's saying, listen, we haven't seen more than one person on the film. That's why she thinks it's one person. You know, that's something I'm open to, because we don't see the blood messed with. We don't see the smudging when they leave the house. If there was another person assisting, you would see that. I truly believe. I think porch guy took her from that porch without any help. That whole blood configuration confuses me. It confuses Mac, I think, because we're not seeing what we would expect to see in terms of a footprint or something, unless she totally walked out on her own. And then if she walked out on her own, we would still see that. She asked what would cause that expirating of blood. And I still believe that is from internal hemorrhaging. And this, I'm just speaking from a tactical medic. I'm not a doctor, but you see that when something is, and again, she's on blood thinners. Just because you're on blood thinners, it doesn't just affect your skin. It affects your interior too, bleeds easier. And so just grabbing her and holding her could cause the vessels within your trachea, within your esophagus, within your nasal passages, depending on how roughly she was treated, you could break those little vessels, your lungs. And I think that that's what happened. And that's why she expirated blood. But no matter what, we know she was alive on that porch. The Bureau saying this is critical for me. This case continues to be investigated as a kidnapping for ransom. I can read it on the ECs. I could see it right there. And that is the belief, which makes me think they likely think those two notes are real. I know Reuters came out and said they have a source. I liked Mac's answer about sources, right? Did you hear all that? It was kind of interesting, because she's basically saying that she thinks some of the sources, you know, depending on what they say, might be real. She's definitely not as fed up as I am with them. And so I liked getting sort of her soft approach to the sources, that she doesn't think a lot of what they're saying may be true, but depending on what's being thrown out there, she doesn't have as big of a problem with. All right. I just want to do a little bit of a plug, and I wanted to ask her about this, but I was going to wait and ask, and this is completely light now. For those of you who did or know the movie Shameless, or I'm sorry, the series Shameless, please let me know if you did over here in the comments. It starred a woman named Emmy Rossum, and gosh, has it been a year? I don't think it's quite been a year. I think it's been probably 9 months. I remember I was skiing when I got the call, actually from Chris Cuomo, because Emmy was looking for, she was getting ready to do a new series on a female FBI agent. And I mean, so exciting. I'm hoping to have Emmy on the show if I get really lucky. And anyway, it's about a female FBI agent. And the reason I just love the storyline, and of course I've read every episode, the reason I love it is it's a very interesting story about sexual abuse, about trauma, about domestic violence, about things along those lines. And this is her new show is called Furious. And she and I trained on multiple different occasions. This is us training back or in a Texas location where we were actually training her on how to do room entries and things like that. We trained firearms. We had role players. This is us with the role players I'm explaining, and we're going to go in and do a lot of role playing here. And not me. I'm the person that's just evaluating and evaluating Emmy. It's going to be on Hulu. It's called Furious. It starts on the 27th of July. And Hulu, Furious, and I think it's going to be an amazing show. And I just wanted to bring home for me, you know, all of us, you know, may watch a lot of FBI shows, right? And I got to tell you, we're still continuing with our members only book or movie club that is coming up soon. I've got to give you guys the movie that we're going to break down. That's going to be an FBI based movie. And my daughter and I kind of talk a lot about it, whether she liked it, whether she didn't, blah, blah, blah. But this is not a sequel to Shameless. This is brand new. And the writers are amazing. It was such an honor to be able to help with the dialogue, to go and help with the fight scenes, to help with the thought process of an FBI agent, all of that. And it was wonderful to train with her and work with her up in New York, in Texas. All of our phone calls, go to her beautiful place, her home, just everything. And the reason that I bring this up is I think it's going to be very dramatic, first of all, and it's going to be tough, I mean, to watch some of it, but in a good way for us true crimers, right? It's going to be exciting. And the only reason I bring this up is because I think there's so many shows that the actress or actor doesn't do their homework. They don't know how we hold our guns in the FBI. They don't know how we would say something behind closed doors. They don't know how the relationships necessarily are with the different groups that we're speaking with, right? They don't understand the what we're going to do with that crime scene when we come in and we see a body laying there, right? So she actually cared about all of that. I've never worked with, I was trying to think any other, the only other actor that I worked with on a show was Don Cheadle. And it's been quite a while ago. I went to his house. I went through his script and read through that and worked with him on some verbiage. But this was insane. The amount of time, and she had her movement coach there. This was amazing what she put into making sure this was real. And so I just wanted to let y'all know, because I know a lot of you like series and watching different things. And just like, you know, I'm promoting a book that is from somebody I know and trust is going to be the real deal here. I tell you, this is going to be the real deal. I've got actually really quick, and I'll just end with this. It's going to be a real deal because of how I know she trained for this. This is actually her. I've got this one. Her shooting on a range that we use. And I'm just trying to help her. She's such a great shot naturally. But this was just a snippet of really, you know, teaching her stance. This is the stance I teach. It's called a modified isosceles, leaning forward slightly at the right waist, arms very extended, which is the slightest bend in the elbows. And some people are just good, and she's really good. Anyway, just wanted you to know Hulu, the 27th, and it's called Furious. This is the woman who starred in it's not a movie, sorry, it's a series. Shameless, and I'm promoting it not only because I've worked with her, but I'm really promoting it because I think the content is very interesting and touches on a lot of important subjects that we talk about. And I can tell you, she felt this role. It was unbelievable how she switched into her FBI woman mode from the sweet little Emmy that she truly is down deep inside. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. Hey, everybody, I've kept you for about an hour. I thank you for being here. I can't thank Mac enough. I hope if you didn't come in at the beginning, you can go back and do replay because we just bam, 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 peppered her with questions. And anyway, thank you all. I hope my microphone isn't acting up. I can't hear that it's acting up. Somebody just said it was. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you to the best mods ever. Till next time, may justice be served for all the missing and for the Guthrie family.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.